listen to Brother Moore.
Thank you, and I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Thank you for listening today and watching, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Romans chapter 16? Thank you for watching the broadcast, and I want to mention to you again, there might be someone that has not been watching the broadcast, and I want to mention to you, we call this Grace Believers Bible Study. We believe in salvation by grace through faith, and we believe that we that are saved by grace through faith stand in the grace of God, according to Romans chapter 5. And so we are grace believers. We believe in grace. We walk in the grace of God, and this grace is accomplished by Jesus Christ at Calvary. As a result of Jesus Christ doing the work of our salvation by dying for us, we are in the favor of God. Now, we're not in the favor of God based upon anything that we could do. Our works are all unrighteous. And so the Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. So God had mercy on us, gave His Son, delivered Him up, forsook Him at Calvary, in order that He might save we that believe in Him as our Lord and Savior. So we call it Grace Believers Bible Study. Now, we've been talking about divine revelations in the Bible. We're not interested in trying to show you every divine revelation in the Scripture. That is not our aim here. But there are some things that are revealed to and through the Apostle Paul that we need to know. And we've been talking about the fact that the gospel of Christ that Paul preached was a mystery revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 16, would read with me from verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. If I was to read the thing backwards, so to speak, starting at the last of verse 26, there is something that the everlasting God has made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Whatever this is, in verse 26, is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. As I go on up into verse 25, whatever it is a mystery that it was kept secret since the world began. And it has to do with Paul's gospel pertaining to Jesus Christ. In other words, there is a message hid in the Old Testament scriptures that was not known by men until revealed to the Apostle Paul and through the Apostle Paul. Take two passages. Take 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in one hand, and take 1 Corinthians 15 in one hand. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And, of course, that will be in Acts 18. He preached this unto them at the time he went to Corinth, Acts 18, verse 2, by which also you're saved. In other words, the gospel that Paul preached unto them is the gospel of their salvation. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then the Old Testament Scriptures included a fact. That is, that Jesus Christ was dying for somebody's sins, and that He was going to be buried, and that He was going to rise again, but it was hid. It was not made known unto men. Go back to 1 Corinthians, and notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and notice in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. They're not without sin in the sense of being sinless perfection. They're perfect in the sense that they're grown up. They're full grown by faith in the gospel. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If we read in verse 7 again, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, had Israel as a nation, had the leaders of Israel as a nation known that Jesus Christ was dying for you Gentiles, they would not have called for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not have demanded that he be put to death. When they had the opportunity, they said, we have no king but Caesar. They said, this man is not our king. They said, crucify this man, and on and on and on. And so Jesus Christ is put to death. But had they known that Jesus Christ in his death was dying for your sins, they wouldn't have done that, the Bible said. Now, there are several things about this that are very clear to a Bible believer. For instance, go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory, and on and on and on. Now, by what gospel were the Corinthians saved? Well, they're saved by the gospel that Paul preached unto them. What is that gospel? That Christ died for their sins, and that he was buried, and that God raised him from the dead. Now, this is very important. Notice back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. In other words, there were followers of Peter at Corinth. There were followers of Peter in the church at Corinth. Now look in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. In other words, Paul is writing to a church at Corinth. Who are these that are in that church at Corinth to whom this letter is addressed? Chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also of you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. I preached unto you that I received, that Christ died for our sins. But whoa, wait a minute. There were people at Corinth following Peter. Yet Paul said, you at Corinth, the church of God, I direct this letter unto you. You are the one gospel unto you. You receive that gospel, and you are saved by that gospel. What gospel were they saved by? The good news that Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again. Were they saved by repentance and water baptism? No. Were they saved by the gospel of the kingdom? No. What gospel was it by which these Corinthians were saved? The gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Where did they hear this gospel? They heard that gospel through the Apostle Paul. Not Peter, not Apollos. The Apostle Paul preached that gospel unto them, and that's what the Bible says. And therefore, anybody that believes the Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, doesn't have a problem with that. That tells me then that those that believed in repentance and water baptism for remission of sins and keeping the commandments were not in the church at Corinth to whom Paul addressed this letter. In fact, there were those at Corinth that said, I am of Peter, and was causing confusion. And Paul is writing the letter to stop the confusion. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That is, anybody listening to my voice that can read sixth grade English can understand that. There was confusion and there was division there. And yet Paul said, the gospel by which you're saved is the gospel that I preached unto you. It's the gospel that you received. And that gospel is that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Peter didn't know that gospel, and Peter didn't preach that gospel in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so forth and so on. So then the church, which is the body of Christ, is saved by the gospel that Paul preached, not the gospel that Peter preached. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Who is the we? We that believe that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. Does that include those who believe in repentance and water baptism for remission of sins? No. Does it include those that believe in repentance and keeping the commandments and confessing their sins to be saved? No. Who does it include? Those that believe the gospel. Which gospel? The gospel that Paul preached. What is the gospel that Paul preached? That Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. This is clear, it is understandable, and if you have a problem understanding it, it's because somebody else has brainwashed you into believing that the church of Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth is a part of the body of Christ, which it is not. Now, divine revelation. Then Paul had a divine revelation. Paul had a revelation from God. This had to do with something that God planned before the foundation of the world, and is for our glory. It had to do with God's wisdom in saving people that believe. What is that wisdom, and what is that we believe? It is that he would give Jesus Christ to die for our sins, that Jesus Christ would pay for our sins at Calvary, that we, by believing in that, God could save us, form us into a body called the body of Christ, and get glory to himself through us. Not through our works, not through our bragging and our boasting about how good we are, or how we're better than they, or we no more. We must boast what he did for us. What did he do for us? Well, he died for us. What is our salvation dependent upon? Christ's work on Calvary in dying for our sins. Now, I want you to notice Peter's preaching, Peter's gospel. Turn back into your Bible, please, and go to Acts, and look in Acts chapter 2. The first thing, I want you to notice who Peter directs his message unto. In Acts chapter 2, and notice in verse 14, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Israel, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, and on. Come to verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Look in verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, and on. Who is he directing his message to? Well, he's directing his message unto Israel. Is he talking to the Gentiles? No. He's talking to Israel as a nation. Turn, please, to chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, and notice in verse 12, And when Peter saw it, that is, the people that came rushing up on them after the crippled man had been healed in the context, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people and said, You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Go to verse 17. And now, brethren, He calls Israel brethren. Whether they were believers or not, he calls them brethren. Why? Because he's an Israelite and he's a brother with the Israelites. Notice in verse 24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, and on and on and on. There isn't any doubt about it. Peter's met later on. The Lord sends him to a Gentile. This Gentile blessed Israel, gave much alms to the people, and so forth. Therefore, he would have been in the covenants of promise, but Peter still didn't want to go. And look what he said to this man in Acts chapter 10, verse 28. And he said unto them, you know how that is an unlawful thing. Verse 28, I'm sorry. He said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. Now, you can believe that or you can reject that. All I'm trying to do is establish a fact. What is that fact? That in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, Peter did not believe in going to any Gentile. And when he finally went to one and walked in the man's house, he didn't want to go, but he went after being persuaded about some things. What does he say? He said, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Say, but wait a minute, Peter. Didn't the Lord say, go and preach the gospel to every creature? He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. Yes, he said that. Didn't the Lord say in Matthew 28, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Yes, he said that. Well, Peter, what on earth are you saying then by saying it is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation? Because he remembers the words of the Lord and he remembers the things pertaining to Israel and their separation and their distinction from the Gentiles. They were exalted above the Gentiles according to the Bible. They were to be the head of the nations according to the Bible, and on and on. And Peter knows that. Now, Peter also would remember Christ telling the Syrophoenician woman, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's not proper and right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He'd remember all those things. So there's got to be an order. If the Gentiles are going to get the message at that time, there's got to be an order. Turn to Acts and look in Acts chapter 1. Take Acts chapter 1 with one hand and take Luke chapter 24 with one hand. Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1. Now in Luke 24, Jesus Christ, having been risen from the dead, is in the room with the apostles where they sat at meat, verse 41, Mark 16. And so notice in verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Now they still didn't understand the Scriptures pertaining to Christ dying for their sins. You see, the Holy Spirit is the author of this book, and the Holy Spirit has the right, being the author of the book, to reveal unto whosoever he wants the truth made known unto. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. Didn't say anything about him dying for their sins. Verse 47, then that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, repentance and remission of sins was to be preached among all nations. What was the method in which it was to be done? Go to chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, and notice in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And they did. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. If I put on the board up here and I say, this right here is the Mediterranean Sea, the Sea of Galilee is here, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea is down here. Jerusalem is over here, and let's just say there's an imaginary line that runs something like that across there. Down here is Judea. Up here is Samaria. Down here is Judah and Benjamin, two tribes down here. Up here are the so-called 10 lost tribes. God never said anything about them being lost. He never lost track of them. But they're in this territory up here. Now, the Lord told the apostles how they're to carry out this ministry. You're to begin first in Jerusalem. The idea being that Jerusalem would repent. Repent and be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in water baptism. After that happened, they would go to Judea. The Judeans would repent, and they would turn to the Lord by repentance and water baptism. Then they would go to Samaria, and the Samaritans would repent and turn to the Lord. Now, Israel would be saved. The children would have received the bread that was for them, the gospel of the kingdom. And after having been saved, after Israel having received what is theirs, then that message would go out unto the Gentiles throughout the world. But in Acts chapter 10, the Lord is sending Peter to a Gentile before the time comes for him to go there, and Peter doesn't want to go. And he gets in the house, and he said, it is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Well, when did God show him that? By Matthew 28 or Mark 16? No. By what means? By letting a sheet down in front of him with unclean animals in it, and said, rise, Peter, and eat. Did it three times. And in doing so, by a sign, the Jews require a sign, and in doing so, Peter saw that he's not to any longer call men unclean, and so he went to Cornelius' house. But when he got to Cornelius' house, he didn't preach to him that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Look what he said unto him. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. This man to whom he went there is a worker of righteousness by blessing the seed of Abraham, blessing Israel, and therefore he's a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Peter preaches unto him, and the man is baptized, and so forth and so on. Now, notice Paul in Acts chapter 9. Notice in Acts chapter 9, Paul is saved. Notice verse 15, the Lord speaking unto Ananias, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and children of Israel. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. The Apostle Paul is giving his testimony. And he says in verse 15, I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He's relating what happened on the road to Damascus. Verse 16, but rise, stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen, those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Paul is sent to the Gentiles. Peter is sent to Israel. Paul to the Gentiles. And that's clear. What is the difference in their message? Well, Peter preached unto the Israelites in Acts chapter 2 and 3 that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that is proven by His resurrection from the dead. And they're told, in effect, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He's the Messiah, believing that He's the Son of God, and believing in His resurrection from the dead. And if they believed that, then they would repent, they'd turn from what they believed in, turn to the Lord, having been crucified by them and raised from the dead. They would be identified with Him in water baptism, and so forth. That's Peter's message. What is Paul's message? Well, we read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again. Justification to the Gentile is through what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Peter didn't know what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Peter just knew that Jesus Christ had been rejected by Israel, and by their wicked hands had been put to death. But God had raised Him up, and He said in Acts 2 that God raised Him up to sit on David's throne. In other words, he believed that He's the King of Israel. He believes that He's going to come again and deliver Israel from their enemies. He's going to save us from the Antichrist and all those that are against us. And we'll go into the kingdom and serve God in His kingdom. What did Paul believe? He believed that when Jesus Christ was crucified, that He died for you Gentiles, that He died for your sins, that He paid for your sins. The Bible says in Paul's epistles that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. These things are clear to the Bible believer. The message, the gospel message of Peter is not the same as Paul. And it never has been and never will be. And those that really believe their Bible will have no trouble seeing this. I thank you for watching today. Lord willing, we'll continue with this in our next broadcast. Until then, good day.